Sipper Parshas Nach.
The Torah introduces us in Parshas Bereishis to the creation of the world and certain individuals, certain high-profile individuals. There's Adam, there's Cain and Hevel, but ultimately the individuals. Parshas Noach, or towards the end of Parshas Bereishis, and what Parshas Noach is talking about, is introducing us to society. And when the Torah is introducing us to society, what the Torah is telling us is that there's Ein Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh. There's nothing new. What sounds like a new idea, or a new concept, or a new fad, it's all been seen before. We've done it, we've tried it, we've seen it's failed, let's move on. And therefore, Parshas Bereishis, end of Parshas Bereishis, dealing with the Dor HaMabul, and Parshas Noach is introducing us to a way of thinking that if we would have understood it correctly, if we would have gone into the parasha and learnt it the way we should, all those years back, the world for sure would have been a different place. So I just want to focus on a couple of psukim at the end of Parashas Bereishis that introduces us to the concept of isms, shittas. The pasuk says that this in Perek Vav pasuk Hei. Vayara Hashem. Hashem saw ki rabo roas ha'odom ba'oretz, that it was multiple, it was large, the bad of people ba'oretz on the land. V'chol yetzer machshavos liboy, and all the desire of the heart was rak ra kol hayom, was only bad all day. So Rabbi Yisai, why is a Rashi, why is a pasuk doubling up here? Vayar Hashem ki rabo roas ha'odom ba'oretz, Hashem saw that it was bad in the world. V'chol yetzer machshavos liboy rak ra kol hayom. You just said how bad it is. So why is it rak ra kol hayom? What's the idea over here? Says the Beis Levi, a fantastic vort. He says that this, and unfortunately we see it. He says, let's take being straight in business. Let's take being honest in our geschäften. Yeah, let's take that for as an example. A person does a trade, he does business. A person who is an Ovid Hashem, a person who's a Ma'amin, believes and he knows that everything is going to earn this year is Nigzar Roshon Yom Kippur. He's not going to be able to lose or gain anything more than a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants him to. But unfortunately, we're not aware of that as the way we should be. We're not. And what do we think to ourselves? Hashem gives us money to Roshon Yom Kippur, and everything else we have to steal. Okay? And that's unfortunately, that's the way people think, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a panos. So the rest of it we have to do, we have to help Hashem over here and there. And therefore we don't declare in our taxes, and we don't do the way we should do business. We fiddle around here, we fiddle around our books, and it becomes, and we feel uncomfortable about it. We feel uncomfortable. No, we don't really want to do this. We don't really want to say we earn less than we really do earn. We feel uncomfortable about it. You know, it's not something we want to do. Eventually, though, unfortunately, we don't even feel bad about it. In fact, it becomes our whole way of life. It becomes a way of living. I don't want to be sharp here. I don't want to be sharp. But it becomes a mitzvah even. The yeshivas, unfortunately sometimes, can have the yetzer hara of money laundering in order to support the yeshiva and the kollel. Do they think about the chil Hashem is going to come out of this? I'm sure they didn't. Did they think about chas v'shalom, the terrible busha that they will have, and being separated from the family, sitting in jail? I doubt it. But the idea was that we have to pay the wages this month. What can we do? We've got to swindle, we've got to cheat on the books. And then it became a shitta. It became, that is what we do, we're supporting Torah, it's a mitzvah. This is what happens when a person does the same avera again and again, nasis like a heta. It becomes like a heta, and eventually becomes a mitzvah. Once it becomes a mitzvah, once it becomes a whole way of life, once it becomes, that's the way I run my business, then there's no way of turning him back. There's no way. That's it. It's an ism. It's become him. It says the Beis Halevi, V'yar Hashem ki rabo ra'asa odom ba'oretz. There's a lot of bad going on. There's a lot of stuff happening. But that wasn't terrible. What was terrible was, V'chol yetzim machshuvo yisliboi rak rak al hayom. Their whole way of thinking, their whole way of processing, their whole way of living their life was only through corruption. It wasn't a corrupt act that was done on various different times. Their way of living, the way they run their life, was corruption. Once something is made b'shitta, once you make it into your life, that is what I do, that's how I run my business, there's no way of turning back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy the world. Therefore, one has to know, the Chaznish said, unfortunately some people are Beinonim. But to make a shitter out of being a Beinoni, that is terrible. Yeah, I'm middle. I'm not terrible, I'm not fantastic. I'm in the middle. Making a shitter out of being a Beinoni is a disaster. If you're Beinoni, you're Nebuch. But to be a shitter out of being a Beinoni, that is a disaster. So the Pasuk over here, this is what we're doing over here. They made a shitter out of corruption, there's no way you can keep such a person alive. And therefore, once you make a whole way of life, once you have a whole system, a whole culture that is basing itself on corruption, and that is a mitzvah. You know, it's a mitzvah to steal taxes, because if we pay tax, then the government's going to use that tax to finance a kibbutz that's magadol chazeirim, that grows pigs. And therefore, there's a mitzvah for us to steal from the government, because that way we're stopping chazeirim and eshes roel. It's a mitzvah. There's no way of dealing with such a person anymore. There's no way of dealing with such a culture. And therefore we have to break down those barriers. We have to break down what we believe is the mitzvah and really see, all the way from the beginning again, is it our desire to make into a mitzvah, or is a mitzvah becoming our desire? That is the important part of the isms. Now the first idea over here of the ism is Doir HaMabul. Doir HaMabul, Rashi brings down, Kimola ha'oretz chomos, says Rashi. It was gezel. Rashi brings down beforehand. Vatishochei sloshen erev avodas halilim. It's all about looking after myself. All about looking after my best interests. If it means avodah zarah, we'll sell avodah zarah. If that's what's going to help me. If it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be any pleasure by gil arayos, let's do gil arayos. If it means stealing somebody else's money, let's steal their money. It's all about looking after myself. Looking after me and myself, because nobody else will. It's a big, bad world out there. And unless I look after myself, I'm stuck. Okay? That is, Rabbi Isai, what we know as today as capitalism. Capitalism is basically worrying about number one. I have to make a parnasa, I've got to support a family, and I've got to support, you know, my gas-gasoline car too. And I've got to support my second home in Florida. And I have to do anything possible in order to make that happen. If it means stealing, I'll steal. And if it means cheating, I'll cheat, but I've got to keep that going. I've got to look after myself. And if it means serving Avodah Zarah, I'll serve Avodah Zarah too. It doesn't matter. I've got to look after myself. I've got to look after my financial interests. That's capitalism. But the Gemara says that they nechtam gzadin on Doir HaMabul only because they stole pochis from Shavah Pruta. They were still less than a Shavah Pruta, less than amount that you can actually bring to court for. What's Peshat in that? If you're really stealing, go for the big one. You know, why are you stealing less than Shavah Pruta? The idea was that they made a culture out of legal loopholes. They were the lovely people, you know. You couldn't point a finger at them and say, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. They made a whole culture. They worked on actually building up their portfolio by doing little twists and turns that you cannot point a finger at them and say you're doing that wrong. That's osa. They stole less than a Shavah Pruta again and again and again and again and again until they made a huge amount of money. But less than a Shavah Pruta. And each time less than a Shavah Pruta, you can't point a finger at them and say you're doing gezeila, because it's not gezeila. This was Doir HaMabul. Doir HaMabul was a culture that used legal loopholes as their way of life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, once you make an ism out of it, once you're making a whole culture out of such a thing, you can't do it. Rabbi Isai, I mean, are we any different today? Today, there's legal loopholes, and people use them. There's something called Tos Akum. Rabbi, who was it? Dinah Bransky said, Tos Akum is Mutter. but it's not good for my midas. There was a certain time in a certain place in England. I was there recently. Tos akum means if a guy made a mistake, he gave you too much change. Yeah? I'm not obligated to return it. A Jew, you are. A guy, you're not obligated to return it. But for my midas, it's bad. That's what Dan Abramsky said. There's a case in a certain place in England recently. I was there, and the Rav spoke up very, very strongly against it. What happened was that Kedem grape juice was imported and sold in Tesco, in the main supermarket there. Okay, so they have a barcode on the bottle and on the box. Okay, so what do they do? You need wine for abacosis. You need a lot of wine. You've got a big fan, you've got a lot of wine. So what do you do? So they went to the, they put all the bottles of wine back into the box, came and brought the box to the cashier, and he zapped the box as £1.29 for the entire box. When you had 12 bottles inside that had the same barcode, each one is £1.29. So you have now a fantastic shtick, which is a legal loophole, you know, because he can't catch you for it, you know, it's a barcode, I didn't know, you know, you can't put you in jail for such a thing. But in Albert cases, on a Seder night, we're talking about Seisiv et Saltik Alti Velakachti, we're talking about Munan Betochen, we're talking about Chinuch of children, they're drinking stolen grape juice. Eh, it's not stolen because of the disgusting. And that was a culture, you know, it's like, it's become a, it's come, how do you, Pesach Kron says, there was once, he was in the camp somewhere, and instead of taking money and putting in money into the phone box, to make a call, you do a reverse charge call, right? You reverse charge call, and you phone up that other person, and you say to the other person, we have a call from Mr. X, do you want to accept the call, right? So he has a choice to say yes or no, it costs him more. So he had a friend who was supposed to go home for Shabbos back to New York City, right? So the friend phones up, and he gives a message, misses a message from Mr. Ich komm nicht. Means I'm not coming in Yiddish. Yeah? Do you want to accept the phone call for Mr. Ich komm nicht? So the other side of the line realizes that he's not coming for Shabbos. He says, no, don't accept the call. Thank you very much. You got the message. Didn't cost him anything, and that's it. End of the story. Right? So what did the other person... Only in New York this can happen, Pesach Kron said. So the other person was... the person said, tell the person, please, it's for Mr. Ich komm nicht. So the person on the line says, for was kommst du nicht? Why are you not coming? Yeah, only in New York when you have a Jewish operator. For was kommst du nicht? You know? She realized what was going on here. But Rabbi Isai, this is... Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything also with that? Of course there is. Al pi hilchos choshen mishpot, perhaps not. But making a culture out of shticks and making a culture out of legal loopholes, that was Dora Mabel. So Dora Mabel. Reb Shach says a fantastic word. Reb Shach says, Kihishkis kol boso ala oris. What's Kihishkis kol boso? Rashi says, Kihishkis kol boso means even a behemoth. Afilu behemoth chai v'oif niskokin l'sh'en aminom. Even a behemoth went and connected themselves with their particular species. Asks Rav Shach, Zechon Levracha, Zechon Levracha, is that why you wipe out a doy because the animals are misbehaving? They don't have bechira b'chlal. That's why you wipe out, you make doy a mabul. They don't have bechira. What does a cow know if he ends up with a horse? I mean, it's not a fault. The teretz is, says Rav Shach, it's not a sibba, it's a siman. It's not the result. It is a proof of what's going on. If a person is living in a society that's corrupt, he's going to get corrupt. And not only that, not only is he going to get corrupt, the animals around him, the whole atmosphere becomes corrupt. Everything around becomes corrupt. It was so corrupt, that Dora Mabel was so corrupt, that the animals became affected by it. Now, no Bechira, they became affected by it. They started going to Sh'ein Aminam. That's how corrupt it can be. Now, in today's society, you know, it's very difficult to see how the animals behave. But you can see the environment and how straight a person is, or chas v'shalom not, by seeing how much the effect it has on children who are not bale bechira to that extent. Yeah, how do children behave at home? Is there MS there? Does MS shine through or not? And if the children are MS, and they're straight and the chalak, then the parents are MS. If there's any flaw in the parents' MS, it's going to go straight through to the children. A legal loophole or not? Rav Pesach Kron said another story. He said, there was a little yankel that was sitting in a classroom, and his loose tooth. He was playing around with his loose tooth. So the Rebbe said to him, don't touch your loose tooth. It'll fall out, and it'll be blood everywhere, and don't touch the tooth. So obviously, if you don't say, don't touch the tooth. Obviously, touch the tooth. Like, don't touch, you know, wet paint, right? It's obviously going to touch it, right? So you start wiggling around the loose tooth, and wiggle. Oops, it falls out. Oh, there's blood everywhere, and his kid's crying, washes the mouth out, fine. Okay. In the playtime, half an hour later, Yankel's tooth, suddenly Yitzchak's running around the Yankel's tooth. So he goes to Yitzchak and says, why do you have Yankel's tooth? He says, very simple. Yankel gets $2 for a tooth that falls out. I get $5. Right? I get $5. So he made a business deal between us. This is a 5-year-old kid. Didn't chat the stupid boy. The parents going to ask which tooth fell out. But, okay, that really takes planning. But that is that's at home. Where do these sticks come from? That a 5-year-old child should be able to make a quick cash on somebody else's tooth? Oh, what nachas! Oh, what a clever kid! Exactly. Oh, you know, he's going to go far in life. Yeah, he got to high security jail. No, what's? But that is mamish. That was Dora Mabel. Dora Mabel was because his tooth never fell out.
So what?
Oy vey, Yoni. Oy vey. It's not true. Okay. So that was Dora Mabel. Dora Mabel was capitalism gone wrong. All capitalism. It's basically looking after yourself and doing everything that a person can't point a finger at you. Or if you can point a finger at you and you are taken to court, then what do you do? Get a high-flying lawyer. Pay him well.
Technica.
Pay him well, and that's it. You're off. That is exactly what the society is of capitalism. Dora Haflogger saw that Dora Mabel was destroyed over it. You cannot keep a society going when this whole thing is based on stealing and trying to be clever over somebody else. It doesn't work. Dora Haflogger was completely different. So at the end of the parasha, Dora Haflogger Perik Yudalov Posagalov. Vayhi kol ha'aretz sofa achas udvorim achodim. The land became sofa achas udvorim achodim. They became one language udvorim achodim. We'll see what udvorim achodim means later. United words. Everyone came together. Everyone joined forces. Unbelievable. Utopia. Fantastic. Beforehand, he's stabbing everyone else in the back. Now everyone's joining together, becoming one beautiful, harmonious nation. Everyone. Kushes, Mitzrayim, everyone, the whole bang lot, fantastic. They went to a place called Bovel, and they dwelled there. Ishvan said to the friend, Hova nilbana levenim. Let's take levenim nisra l'sreifa, petehilehem levenim la'oven. Let's take a new invention. There's no stones to build in Bovel, so what did they do? They made a new invention. They took something and they put in a kiln. They burnt the raw materials of clay, and they made them into bricks. Wow! This is a chiddush. Never had that before. Right? And Levena became a stone, everyone's going fantastic. Okay? Okay, let's build a city, Migdol, and a tower, Varosha Bashemaim, and a head Shabina Shemaim. And Hashem saw what's going on, Hashem dissipated them. I've got a few kashas. Number one, what they're doing wrong. Fantastic, they're all together. Beforehand, they're stabbing each other in the back, and now they all come together. Fantastic, brilliant, beautiful, Baruch Hashem. And it can't be more different than Dora Mabel. Dora Mabel was all about looking after yourself. Here it's all about looking after each other. Fantastic, number one. Number two, the Pasuk says, Hova nu b'no levenim. Hova, says Rashi, hazmino atzmech, let's prepare ourselves to make levenim. Now, the question is, if you want to build a big city, you want to build a beautiful big city, I had the same kasha when I drive through, to get to the Dead Sea, you have the Bedouins that are giving their cattle to eat in the desert. Now, if you want to live and give cattle to eat, why be in the desert? You know, there's other places which have grass. Yeah? But obviously they've thought of that. But over here, we have here a Dora Haflogger who want to build a huge skyscraper and they go to a place where there's no stones. So what they do, they're going to make their own stones. They're going to get bricks. Why? Go to a place with plenty of stones and build a tower there. Why go to Bovel and build a place where there's no stones? Okay? And secondly, why is the apostle talk about so much about where they got the raw materials from? They built this and they put that in the fire and then this came out and that came out. Who cares? Who cares? Thirdly, well, these guys are stupid. Said Rashi, we're going to go up to Shemaim. Two reasons, said Rashi. Number one, we're going to make war with Hashem. And let's build a very, very big tower. And let's make war with Hashem. Well, the guy's going to climb up and find Hashem up in the Shemaim and start having a bit of a duel with him. I mean, what's that all about? The higher you go, a little bit higher, a little bit higher, a little bit. Well, kind of ridiculous. What's the idea behind it? Let's go up to Shemaim. Well, these people are stupid. Number one. Number two, the other Bishat, says Rashi, is Bar Machodim, says Rashi, is in every certain period of time, the Shemaim collapses. And that's why there was a Mabul. So let's go up, find this, build a big tower that's going to support the heavens. Yeah? Now, what does that mean? You're going to build a little thing and support the heavens. What, you build it high, you build it very, very high, like a middle post of a tent that... If it collapses, it's all going to be just like above their head height. I mean, what's building? What are they doing? Are these guys foolish? What's going on here? What's this all about? Kliokas says something, and Remodcha Miller from Gate says something that sort of fills up what he's saying. The Gemara says that kinnus l'rishoyim ralehem v'ralo ilom. Getting together, rishoyim, all together, is bad for them and bad for the world. So you can understand why kinnus l'rishoyim is bad for the world. Look at United Nations. Okay? Very simple. All get together. How can we possibly damage Israel? Let's try and really do whatever we can to kill as many Jews as possible. Now Ahmed Janjab, whatever his name is, speak there and address everybody. But when it comes to Israel defending himself against the Gaza terrorists, let's condemn them. Okay? Let's really get the Jews as much as possible. So you can understand why kinnus l'rishoyim is ra'al olam. But why is it ra lahem? Why is it bad for them? They're having a good time. They're getting together. They're all supporting themselves. They're all helping each other. So why is it ra lahem? What's bad for them? So he says, this is the Kliyoka. The Kliyoka says that don't believe for one second that Dora HaMabul was any different to Dora HaFloga or vice versa. When we saw Dora HaMabul all worrying about themselves, Dora HaFloga was worrying about themselves too. When you see capitalism on one side, then you see communism, don't believe for one second when communists get together and they're all worried about looking after each other, it's all about looking after the other person. It isn't. It's Havu Lonu Shem. Let us go along and build for ourselves a good name. The communists, all they did was basically empower themselves and pull down other people. They didn't care about the poor, starving people in little villages. They cared about themselves. And therefore, ultimately, coming together of all the Rishoyim is bad for themselves because each one thinks he's going to help me. They're not. As soon as you've got the money, he's going to shoot you dead. He's going to take away your money too. You know. Let's say a whole group of the mob get together, for all different mafia get together, and decide that they're going to break into Fort Knox. Right? It's fantastic. All thinking about each other. The only problem is, the only person to get all the money is when everyone's broken in. And if you've joined forces, then one's going to shoot them all dead and take all the money. This Ralahem is very, very bad for them. Don't think for one second, says the Torah, capitalism is any good, because it isn't. Don't think communism is any good either, because when you think you're looking out for the other person, you're not. They're all looking about themselves. Says a Medrash, it's an unbelievable Medrash, but the Balaturim brings this down. Balaturim says, La'oven, it only says La'oven twice in the entire Tanakh. One, it says over here, La'oven. And other place it says the idoch by yomos libo bekirboy vuhu hoyle oven gaben novel. It's case by novel. Malahalom misa afkan misa. Just like over there is talking about death. So to in our case, when the oven is also talking about death. What's pshat? She yoyse hoyle kosh lehem in a moves kushe noflo levenam in a migdol. When they're building this huge high tower and one person fell off, no big deal. When one brick fell off, oy vey, what a waste of a brick. Does this sound familiar? Killing millions and millions of people? Who cares? All for the sake of the motherland. But if you, you take chas v'shalom and one little thing, you steal a potato from the motherland, shoot the guy. That is what it's all about. It was all about basing itself on an idealism where it's all about looking after myself but pretending we're all together. That is the second warning of the Torah. Don't get sucked into this. You should know there are yeshivas. The lodge in the yeshiva had excellent bochrim. Yeah, in order to get to the lodge in the yeshiva, you had to learn Siddurim of Gemara Baal Peh. And the boys, when communism came fashionable, they were trying to find Makiris in Tanakh where you see communism as a good thing. Communism in the Torah Manayin was a famous phrase. Where do you find communism in the Torah? And his boys went off the derech in a very, very big way. Very, very big way. Communism. You thought an utopia. Everyone coming together. It's not. It's all about looking after myself. I don't care if you die, long as I haven't wasted the levina.
So how did they miss it then?
I'm sorry?
If that was the famous question, how did they miss it?
You know what? Because they fooled themselves into it. There's hype. How did a whole country of millions and millions of people, the Russians, aren't stupid. Right. How did they get sucked into communism? They're brilliant people. It's hype. You know what hype is?
Yeah.
Hype is where you can have two people playing football in a little playing with a football, and you can eventually make it not only into a game but into a world sport, and you can have a world player called Ronaldo who can be a billionaire by merely playing football. That is hype. That's hype. There's nothing else. What is it? Two guys playing football. I mean, it's a kid's game. Yeah, a guy can become a billionaire from kicking the ball well. Wow. That's hype. That was hype then. Wow, let's all get together, let's build and build. But what was the idea? Communism is based on a theme, facing towards someone. What was their theme? Rabbi said, this is scary. Said Modcha Miller, the scary part over here was building themselves up towards being self-sufficient. You know what, Hashem? We're going to go to a place called Bovel. And in Bovel there's no stones. So you think we can't build? Wrong, we can. You know what? We're going to make our own invention in building. We're going to focus our energies on technology and science. We're building a world based on our own self-sufficiency. Rabbi Yisrael, does that sound like we've changed? We're building a world where we're self-sufficient. We don't need you, Hashem. We don't need you. We have a world bank, and we have a world language. We have money all over the world. You know, in other words, if Singapore, there's an earthquake there, it doesn't matter because my money's insured. In a different place, we have offshore banking. We have a common language. We're all working together. Flick of a button with an email. With a flick of a button, we can transfer money from one account to the other. It's all one big. It's all common achodim. It's all one language. Everything. And we don't need you, Hashem. You know what? We can send people to the moon if we want. We can destroy the world with a button. We are in charge, Hashem. It's not you anymore. What's the idea? Why did Einstein? What is the idea of putting into the world an existence of an atom bomb? Why? It's the craziest thing. What for? The idea was, I want to play God. You know what? I want to play God to the extent I can create a human being, I can clone, I can make a woman marry a woman, still have children. I can do anything. I am in control. I can cure cancer. I can cure this. I can cure that. I can do everything. The Dafka went to Bovel and created technology that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't need you. If there's no stones here, I can make my own stone. Thank you very much. Dafka, they went to Bovel. What did they go? They went to make water in Shemayim. They built not only did they build little houses, but they built a huge tower. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see this tower? This is a tower that says, we don't need you. We can work ourselves. We can build a whole building all the way up to the Shemayim, but we don't need you. That is war. That is war with Hashem. That is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in control anymore. Not that they build it and they can take a little gun and start shooting up to Shemayim and I shot you. That's not the idea. They're not so primitive. You know, with geniuses. You know, with people who had the connection with Bein Shalim that we wish we had at that stage, before the corruption, before all the Avodah Zarah came into the world. But that was the idea. The idea was making war with Hashem, saying, Hashem, we don't need you.
How did they miss the point, sir? Is it? You can never beat Hashem. You can never even
wait for war. Are we not trying to do that? No. When we make medicine, Baruch Hashem, because we're Avram Avinu, who have learnt all the messages and worked from there. But the Goyim, the scientists, the biggest hypocrisy. Science and Hashem doesn't go together. It doesn't go together. The idea is that there's a big bang. Why? Because there wasn't Hashem. We are going to do everything we possibly can to show that we're not relevant. We don't make Hashem relevant in our lives. And this was science, this technology. What does Hashem do, by the way? How does Hashem destroy it? Very simple. A global banking crisis. Think you have your money safe? Global banking crisis. You think you're safe health-wise? Okay, I'll send you swine flu. One by one. You know, you think your buildings are strong? Don't worry, I'll send you global terrorism. You want to be one big global thing looking after each other? I'll be one big global thing and destroy you. This is the idea which Baruch is destroying slowly Tower of Babel. But this is Dora Flogger. So where the first was capitalism, then it was communism, then it was technology and science, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying it's all nothing. And this is a parash of Noach. It's all about that.
And the second shot is
holding big rakia is Bishat. You want to make a flood? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to make a flood? You know what? I don't. Oh, what's Bishat? Let's go deep in that. What's Bishat? You want to make a flood? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised you're never going to make a flood again. Hashem says you'll never destroy the whole world again. So what are you doing building a tower for? Yeah? What are you building a whole tower for? So you know what you're saying back to him? I don't trust what you're saying. That's not interest. It doesn't interest me. I'm going to build a tower anyway. You know, I'm going to control the world anyway. I'm going to make big dams. I'm going to do everything. It doesn't matter what you say. You're not relevant to my life. I'm building a tower to hold up the world. That is a world today. Chas v'sholem that we as Elach Yidden should be saying that. But that is what's going on. Now, how is this relevant to Maisa? That is a fascinating, fascinating medrash. The medrash says that the Tower of Babel, a third of it was burnt and destroyed. Listen to this, I'll pick a bottle, okay? A third of it was burnt and destroyed, a third of it was covered up by the ground, and a third of it is still so tall that if you climb to the very top and look down, the palm trees look like grasshoppers. That's a medrash. So a third of it was covered up with the ground, a third of it was destroyed, and the one third is so tall that if you look and stand on the top, the palm trees look like grasshoppers. What's Peshat? What's Peshat in this? He says in this in the Alpert, the Talmud of the Ramesha Feinstein, Gavaldig of Peshat. If you look in Rashi, you see Mamash Gadlus. Look in Rashi, Perigud Aleph, Posuk Aleph. With Dvorim Achodim. What does Dvorim Achodim mean? So Rashi brings three Peshatim. One Peshat is, Ba'u be'etza achas v'omru. They came with one etza, and they said, Lo'ikol heimenu shi'ovo lo'yes elyonim. Na'le l'rakia v'nas imam l'chom. Let's go up to Shemaim and make war with Hashem. In other words, the first pshat, achodim, means from noshen chad, from sharp. Let's go up and actually make war with Hashem. That's one pshat, dovah machodim. Same pshat of Rashi, dovah acher. Al yechidoi shol olam. Let us go together and unite the world. Second pshat. Third pshat, dovah acher, udvarim achodim, omru. They said, achas le'elef etof reish nun vav shonim harkiya mismayt, the world falls apart. Kishen sh'os mea mabul, like it happened to mea mabul, boyu v'nasa ismucha, let's go and support it. In other words, so the achodim means that they got together and sort of, the word achodim, I've been looking in the shara, looking at shara aran, I couldn't find shara aran, but achodim achorim means also, it's a concept of coming together to support the world. So, the three pshatim. One is let's make war, one let's get together, and one is let's support the world that doesn't fall apart. Says in this and I'll put. One third, the three pshatim. So the three pshatim. The first pshat is let's make war with Hashem. You know what? Does it happen today? Absolutely not. Nobody stands up and says, you know what? We're going to fight you, Hashem. We're not going to stand and say, God, I hate you. We're going to make war against you. What do we do today? We make a holy war. We're using our Kodesh Baruch and making war with God. Crusades. Yeah, we go along and kill thousands of people and pillage and whatever it is, all for the sake of a holy war. God on our side. But to fight against God, Chas v'Sham, even communists, by the way, didn't fight Hashem. They just didn't believe there was Hashem. They didn't fight Hashem. They didn't say, Hashem, I know you're there, I'm going to make the war with you. That is burnt. That first pshat of going out and making war with Hashem no longer exists. It never existed since then. It got burnt. Nobody goes now and says, Hashem, I know you're there, I'm going to make war with you. That's burnt. Second pshat, Advarim HaKodim, is let's get together. That is, says Nissen Alpert, is when the world gets together. After the First World War, there was a League of Nations. Yeah. After the Second World War, there's United Nations. And every now and then they have a coalition to join up and to break apart and join up and break apart. That is something that is under the ground, sometimes pops his head up. Every now and then, the idea of coming together, a new world order, happens every now and then. That happens. It happens, and it doesn't happen, and it falls apart, and you have this coalition, that coalition, it all falls apart. But it's not something that happens for long periods of time. Okay? That is the second pshat. The third pshat of let's go and control the world, let us go and build a technology, let's go and say that it's not from you, Hashem, it's all in our hands, that is alive today. That is still around today. That's a third. And it's so tall that you can see a palm tree. Big things, Hashkocha Protis, and we say, ah, that's nothing, that's not Hashem, that's a grasshopper. That is Peshat in the Medrash. Rabbi, so I want to read out to you a fantastic piece, a very, very famous piece of the Meshech Chochma in Parshat Bucha Kosai. He says like this. Meshech Chochma, by the way, the Rav of Tvinsk, Yisrael Meir from Tvinsk, he died 5 years before the start of Nazism. Listen to what he says. V'hi Yisraeli b'chlal, the Jew himself, Yechoshev le'ezrach ra'anon, he thinks he is a pleasant citizen. V'ozuv limudoi dosoi, he leaves his learning of religion, lomoit l'shoynes loyloi, to learn languages that are not his. Yalef mekalkalto v'le'yalef mitakanta, he learns from the bad and does not learn from the good. Yechoshev ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim, the Jew thinks that Berlin is Jerusalem. Oz yovoi ruach soya, a ruach, a tremendous storm will come, ve'akor oisa megizoi, and rip him out from the roots. The Meshech Chochma says that you can see that Jews are going to be decimated, they're going to be destroyed because they think Berlin, he Yerushalayim. Oz yovoi ruach soya, ve'akor oisa megizoi, they'll rip them out and throw them out. Rabbi said this is 5 years before the beginning of Nazism. People were saying, Berlin, hi Yerushalayim. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. What do we see today? We see tremendous Hashkocha protest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a state of Israel. So what do? Never again! Never again! Never again! It's all us! You know, we've got the best air force, we've got the best, we've got nuclear war. Never again! It's all us! What, we're not doing the same thing today? You know, Jews will never be destroyed again. Why? Because we built our own country, we're going to protect ourselves. Yeah? That is Dora Bovel still very, very much alive and well. That is that's what we're saying today. We've got to know that Chas v'Shalom, we are Jews. And what is a Jew? Let's finish off with this. There's a beautiful piece in the Netziv. The Netziv writes that, do you know what Avram Avinu was put into the Kivshon Ha'esh? Yeah, thrown into the fire, into the furnace. By who? By Nimrod. You know that Kivshon was? That was a Kivshon that they burnt the bricks and made them into bricks. That Kivshon that made him into bricks, that's where Avraham Avinu was saved. To show that you Goyim, are actually making a whole culture out of fighting against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Out of this very furnace, I'm going to be saved to make a culture working with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is a Yid. This is what we are. I want to tell you one fantastic one, and we'll end with this. It says in the Pasuk, Vayolid Noyach Shleishes Bonim Eshem Eschom Ves Yofes. Shem Chom and Yofes. So the Gemara asks, who was the oldest? Gemara Sanhedrin. Who's the oldest?
Yefes.
So the Gemara says, it brings a raya from the Vayomim, if I remember, that Yefes was the oldest. Yeah? Yefes was the oldest. Why does it say Shem Chom Ves Yofes? So the Gemara says, that you go Bosor, you can possibly say according to the Chachmita, according to the Chochma. According to the Chochma, that's where you put it. Shem was a Chochm, although he's the youngest. Rise from Sukkim, that Shem must have been the youngest. Yeah, rise from Sukkah. I'm not going into that. I have time now. Look in the Gemara Sanhedrin. Tell you what daf it is. It's the Samach Tesem base. Ultimately, Shem was the youngest. Why do we say Shem first? Because Shem was a Chochem. Okay? Now, so Shem, who was the next Chochem? He wasn't. Goodness sake. He wasn't. It was Yofes, right? So Chom was a bad guy. So why should be Shem, Yofes, for Chom? If you're going according to age, it should be Yofes, Chom, and Shem. If you're going to Chochma, it should be Shem, Yofes, and Chom. So you're not having either thing. What's going on here? How can you have Chochma and Shem, Chom, and Yofes? Says the Medrash, Shem and Yofes saw that the brother Chom was going off the derech. They saw he wasn't doing very well. So he said, you know what Yofes says? I'm willing to step aside. I'm willing to put Chom before me. Let's surround him by good influence. Let's be Shem, Chom, and Yofes. Let Chom be between us. That's the Pasuk says, is why it says, Shem Chom Yofes. And we see Rabbi Isai, unbelievable. In that generation, anything happened with Chom? Did he get better? No. So what did it help their Kiruv? Nothing. The Torah says, of course it helped. Later on, years and years and years later, the Gemara says, in a case, the Balamusa say, that there's a Tesefta that Tovi. Remember the mission. The mission talks about Tovi. Rav Gamliel had a Eved called Tovi. He was from Chom. He's from Canaan. And in such a Talmud Chochmah, the Sefer said that Rav Gamliel wanted to give him smicha, but he couldn't because he's from Chom. But he was a tremendous Eved. Say the Bala Musa. You know what? In that generation, the Kiruv didn't help the Chlal. But hundreds, even thousands of years later, because they're Makarapim, he had a great grandchild called Tevi, who was so great that Gamliel was wanted to give him smicha. That is a kliach of joining up somebody, bringing them in for the right reasons, not making communism to look after myself. It's connecting with the correct person in order to bring the other person up. There's a story Zolberstein brings. There was a man who's right, who lived in the Shtachim, the territories. And he's driving along the dark road at night, and a car behind him, they didn't recognize, was flashing him to overtake. Now, at that time, during the Intifada, not so long ago, it was very, very dangerous time. There's a lot of cars that would pass by, and they'd shoot. So they'd drive past, and when he got to the same window as a driver, they'd shoot out. So it was a very narrow road, and he was scared that this driver behind him was an Arab. And the more he was driving slower, the more he was flashing him and hooting at him. So he started to drive like a zigzag, but the guy couldn't pass him by. And he came all the way into his little moshav somewhere, and this car was still following him. Finally, when he came into it, it was lighter there, he came out of the car and he saw there was one of the guys living down the street. Baruch Hashem was delighted, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's just one guy I wanted to pass by, he's in a hurry. This fellow got out of his car, and he came over to the driver, and he pulled him out of the car, and started beating him, road rage, beating his face, kicking him, punching him. And I said, leave me alone, I'm sorry, it was a mistake. I thought you were an Arab terrorist, I didn't see you properly. He said, how dare you, I wanted to get through, you knew very well I was trying to get through, and you're just trying to cause me trouble. What is this, you're a joker here. Pass by, you do zigzags, beating him, there's blood pouring down his face, the guy was very, very badly injured. He found it at Zolberstein. This man was injured, found it at Zolberstein. What am I supposed to do? What should I do? Should I call the police? There were witnesses of people looking all over. The whole town was out seeing what was going on. Eventually, they pulled him off him, but this guy was bleeding. He was a mess. Rav Zolberstein said, wait till tomorrow morning. Let me think about this. Next, and phone me up tomorrow morning. He waited for the call. He didn't phone. Rav Zolberstein knew this person's phone number. He phoned him back. He said, why didn't you phone me? He said, I decided I'm not going to. So why? So this person has a very, very good job. If I go to the police, this person's going to be convicted. He's going to be convicted, he's going to lose his job, he's going to lose his parnasa. He's got a family to support. I'm not doing it, I'm not saying anything. You know, maybe eventually I'll take him to Din Torah, but I'm not going to take him to the police. I can't let this person lose his job. What I am going to say to him is, you know you did wrong, and he knows you did wrong. You owe me something. And you owe me a favour. You owe me something. You have to come to me Friday night and eat by a Shabbos meal. You're a secular person, you've got to see what a Shabbos meal is like. See for once in your entire life what it means to sit by a Shabbos table where there's mirrors and there's Divrei Torah and there's Kedushah and Tahara. That you owe me. That you have to give to me. And that's what I'm going to do. I don't know the end of the story. But this is united for something good. This is a Jew. It's not capitalism. It's not stabbing somebody in the back. It's not communism. It's not about using somebody else's genius to help you. It's not about using science to fight against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's Avraham Avinu who came out from Ur Kasdim and united with another Jew. And this has gone through thousands of years later. This Yid, who can be badly beaten, on that night decides that what he's going to do is give this person a chesed. Teach him how to become a Jew. Teach him how to become a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. That is Klal Yisrael, and that's what we have to be proud of.
What about Eliezer? Why do we have to wait for Tevi to meet the Ryan?
Good question.